is a Fox News alert, a first-of-its-kind honor for her honor. I'm Dave Anthony. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's casket, draped in an American flag, now lying in state at the U.S. Capitol.
She does so on a catafalque built for Abraham Lincoln. May she rest in peace.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at a memorial a short time ago. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, a socially distant ceremony in Statuary Hall. Attendees spread out around the casket of the late justice. Rabbi Lauren Holtzblatt remembered Justice Sandra Day O'Connor telling Justice Ginsburg if they had been welcome at the bar, they may have been partners at a law firm.
Because the route was not open to us, we had to find another way and both end up on the United States Supreme Court.
Ginsburg is the first woman to lie in state as the Capitol. 39 years to the day, Justice O'Connor was sworn in as the first female Supreme Court justice. Dave?
Rachel, tomorrow President Trump will nominate a woman to replace Ginsburg. Another governor has the coronavirus. Virginia's Democratic leader Ralph Northam and his wife both infected. 2 days after Missouri's Republican Governor Mike Parson and his wife got COVID, both governors say they don't have any symptoms. In Louisville, Kentucky, Breonna Taylor's family attorney just moments ago called for grand jury transcripts to be released. After the officers who shot and killed Taylor in a March drug raid on her home were not charged, there was a second night of protests, including spray painting and smashed windows.
Someone even tried to set the city's library on fire with a flare, but I'm told, though, the damage to that was minimal. Now, State Representative Attica Scott was among those who was arrested from the riots. Scott has been a very vocal supporter of these protesters and has authored what is known as Breonna's Law, the end of no-knock warrants here.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Protesters in Portland, Oregon tried to set fire to a police union building. America's listening to Fox News.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to Monica Starks, who needed to hire for a pivotal role at her company, GS Group.
As the owner of a construction company, finding the right people is a very difficult task. So I use ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. Monica did, and that's how she found Lamont, her new project superintendent.
The job is so perfect for me. I had a career breakthrough. I would have never found this job if it wasn't for ZipRecruiter.
With ZipRecruiter, we've hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. With ZipRecruiter, we get hiring results.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 104 today and 71 overnight tonight under a clear sky. Got a nice weekend coming with 101 the high on both Saturday and Sunday. Sunny Saturday, partly sunny on Sunday. Back up to 105 with sunshine on Monday.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk here, Tom Rush with Yuma Investment Group, and got one of our partners, Tim Avila.
Good morning.
Tim's also with Yuma Investment Group. Wanted to bring Tim in here because we've been doing a virtual seminar through Zoom about four ways to cut college costs and basically how to avoid overpaying for college.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information that will really help both parents and students guide themselves through the college search process.
And more importantly, I think, is understand how it works, because you know, as far as understanding the big picture, then you can get into the details of it. But as you know, the high school just started, so I know a lot of the seniors are, you know, going 100 miles an hour trying to figure out what school they might get accepted
to. Or what the rules are.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. You actually want to start freshman year in high school, and that's one of the mistakes.
Seriously?
That yeah. I mean, as far as getting understanding of what you need to do to get to school, into college.
To make sure you're on the right track.
Yeah, you don't want to wait till junior, senior year and then be like, okay, what do I have to do?
And we did that for our kids, and we made sure that, you know, Robert wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. So we actually started before high school just to understand, to take classes on ourselves.
Yeah.
Educate ourselves on what we need to help him with.
Yeah. And we think it's important that the parents take control on the situation, because sometimes they will try to push control, or you know, push the duties on the child or the student, which is fine. It could be a joint effort,
yeah.
But ultimately, you know, the for the most part, the parents are going to have to figure out if they can afford the college that they're going to. And being on the financial advisory side, I can tell you many times parents have bent over backwards to help their kid through college, whether it's get another mortgage, get a second mortgage,
wow,
or even pull money from retirement accounts. And I can tell you half of the times that happens, the kids don't even graduate.
Right.
So you really don't want to put yourself in a position where you are taking on too much risk, because really by the time the kid is in college, the parents are probably, you know, 40 to 50 years old or somewhere in that range.
Right.
And that's not a lot of time,
financially, it could be devastating.
Yeah.
I'm risk averse. That's why he went to the Air Force Academy, because it was free. Your tax dollars paid for it. Thank you very much.
Hey, nothing's free in this world, Russ.
That's right. Someone pays
but
somewhere.
He's paying the price, not me, buddy.
We're going to go through this hour, because we're gonna dedicate the hour to talk about this. We also have another seminar through Zoom tomorrow, Saturday.
10 a.m.
And for some of you people, yes, we do work Saturdays, if you're wondering. The financial advisors are, you know, on the golf course or whatever. No, we're working. But anyways, we're going to do Saturday at 10 a.m. And Tim's going to tell you, if you want to join the Zoom meeting, how we can get connected. So I don't know if you want to explain that.
Yeah, we have on Facebook, we have Yuma Investment Group, and we have the advertisement with a registration link. So you can go right there to Facebook, look up Yuma Investment Group. It'll say the seminar, Cutting College Costs, and it will have the link that you can click directly there. They will send you the Zoom information, which is the ID and the password, and it's reserved for 10 a.m. Saturday morning. So as long as you have a computer, smartphone, anything to connect to the Internet and look online with audio, you're good to go. You'll be able to get the webinar.
And we had one last night, the same webinar, because we want to do it twice to give people a choice. And I actually strongly advise that the parent and the student listen to this so that they
right.
both understand. Last night we had a couple of the parents and the students, and I think that's a good way to go. So, you know, one of the things about colleges or paying for college, and I got three in school right now, so I think I'm a live testament of what I'm talking about. It is expensive. But more importantly, the thing about college is it comes at a point when it actually comes before retirement for most people. So, you know, everyone has a goal for retirement. They probably, hopefully, have a plan they're putting together as far as putting away money. But one of the things that's going to hit you sooner is going to be the cost of college. And if you don't plan for that, or if the kids, you know, don't get the scholarship that they wanted, or the merit scholarship, or need scholarship, or whatever, then it will basically throw a bump in the road for your retirement. And I've had many times parents say, I'm not contributing to my retirement plan for the next 4 years because I got a kid in school. And, you know, that's tough, too. So the first thing I want to point out here is you want to start early. The earlier you start, the better. There's different types of plans that you can get in place, which we'll talk about a little bit, to save for college, and some of them have some good tax ramifications. So the most common one is called a 529 plan, and basically that was set up a while back. It's set up through the states. So every state has a different investment company that they use, but it allows you to put away a lot of money. Every state's a little different, but you can hypothetically put away $50,000 a year for the kid, or even the grandparents could. So the parent becomes the owner on the account. The kid becomes the beneficiary. By the fact that you are the owner, it means you always have control in the account. The educational savings account, which was it's still around, but it's a little bit older version. When the kids turn 21, it becomes their money. So right. If the kid's, you know, doing things or has strange habits that aren't conducive to having money, you know, it's painful to see them get that. I've actually had clients that the kids came in and they gave them the money. We had no choice. So parent has all the control, and the kids have no timeline on when to use it. So you can, you know, use it when they're 30, 40, maybe go back to grad school, or maybe they're late bloomers and they don't think about college until later. So it's very flexible. They also let you switch one kid once a year. So if you have your first kid, maybe gets a scholarship or goes to the community college, which is a good option that's cheaper, then you can always switch it to another kid. Once a year, they let you do that.
Right, and if you have multiple children in school, you know, you may have to split it, make two plans or something like that so that everybody gets paid.
Yeah. One of the big questions I get, too, is, hey, I got three kids. Why don't we just do one plan, put all the money in for one plan, and then we can, you know, don't do three. I personally don't like that because each kid has a little bit extra time on when they're going to need the money. So if there's an age range for the oldest one is like a four-year difference from the youngest one, the money can be invested a little bit more aggressive for the younger one. The other thing I don't like about it is a lot of people say, oh, my college fund's up to $50,000. Like, that's pretty good. Well, yeah, but you got four kids. Oh. So you factor that in. So it kind of gives you a more realist as far as where you're at. Now, in the 529 plan, you put in the money. There's no plan that will give you pre-tax dollars. Everyone wants that pre-tax dollar college plan. There's not one out there. But then it grows deferred, which means you pay no tax on it. And they just changed the 529 rules with the Trump tax change. And they say you can pull out $10,000 a year for elementary school or even preschool. Preschool, elementary school, high school. And then you can pull out money for any accredited school above high school. An accredited school could be beauty school, tech school. Mm-hmm. I mean, most schools are accredited if they are doing it. But anyways, it grows deferred, so you pay no tax, and then when you spend it on the school, you pay no tax. So basically, it's an account that grows, and there's no tax on the back end as long as you spend it on the school.
Right. That's an easy requirement. That's easy to do.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you do the math and not be overly aggressive, let's just say hypothetically you get a 7% return, which I think, you know, is not shooting it out, but I don't want to get overly aggressive. That means the money's going to double in 10 years, mm-hmm. and then it's going to almost double again because those 8 years, 18. Mm-hmm. So basically, a newborn, you'll be paying roughly about 25 cents on the dollar to get that $1 on the backside. So as a parent, you know, Do you want to pay a dollar when it's time, or do you want to pay 25 cents today?
Right.
So there's a benefit of doing that.
Absolutely.
So when we get, the other thing about the 529 is if you don't spend all the money, it can just sit there. And then when you have grandkids, and they're going to have a social security number and a date of birth, you can actually put the grandkids or the great-grandkids on for some future kid that's never born. So it will continue in this type of account for the next generation if that's something you want to do also. We'll talk more about the 529 when we get back. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Ruesch, Tim Avila here from Yuma Investment Group. And we're talking about college planning, how to cut costs in college, how to make your money stretch. We have a webinar tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. If you go to our Facebook, Yuma Investment Group, and on there, there's a link where you can sign up. We'll send you out the Zoom contact information. It's about an hour seminar, but it's going to go into detail as far as what you need to consider. And I would recommend the parent and the kid watch this if they're in high school. We also have in this webinar a guest who happens to be one of my family members. My younger sister, Tara, is a counselor at Yuma Catholic. So she's in charge of trying to get scholarship money and such for the kids. And I know every year Yuma Catholic seniors get over $10 million a year in scholarship money, which is really impressive.
Ouch.
So she's going to be there,
fantastic,
too.
Fantastic.
Throwing in her two cents on what she sees.
They have like 100 kids graduating or something.
Yeah, yeah. They
do the math, right?
Yeah, they have it down pretty well because they do 3 to 4 times more than the other schools.
Yeah.
But anyways, the 529 plan. That's a tool or investment product you can use to save for college. The other thing, we were talking about it before the break, but the other thing about a 529 plan is the parent can also take the money back. And that's a big thing because in the educational savings account or UTMA account, that actually becomes a gift to the kid. So there's basically no recourse to take it back.
Right.
Now, if you took it back, the growth in the account would become a taxable event to the parent. But to me, that's not a big deal, because if you had the money somewhere else,
would
it
would have been
taxable.
Anyway. It would be the same thing.
And there's a 10% penalty just on the growth. Now, people can say that's, you know, high or that, but it's the law. But over a, you know, 10, 15, 18-year period, 10% is not going to break the bank either.
So does it have to be a reason you took it back?
No, no reason.
It could be like a change political parties, I don't like it or something?
No, no reason whatsoever. And the other thing about a 529 plan is it's actually set up in a trust format, so it's protected from creditors and stuff. So sometimes people use that as a way to revert funds when they know they're financially might have to go bankrupt or something. I've seen that happen too.
Right, and one of the things we talk about in the webinar, and this really applies to the 529, is that, you know, parents need to turn in their financial information. They're going to get what's called an expected family contribution. And retirement accounts, those don't come into consideration, but non-retirement accounts do, including a 529, but they'll ask for the same information from the student. So if the student has a bank account, has money set up in their name, in that formula, they will actually consider more of the student's money, a higher percentage, versus the parent's money. And since the 529 is in the parent's name, they will only consider a small portion of it towards that expected family contribution. So it's a benefit.
So to give you an idea, if a student had $10,000 in a savings account and they had $10,000 in a 529 account in the parent's name, the formula that the schools use is only 10% of the value of the college 529 plan.
Right.
Where they might use upwards of 100% or 80% or so of the money in the checking account. So one of the big myths out there, and I hear this all the time, is, you know, I really don't want to start a college fund for my kid, because then when I go to try to get a scholarship, I won't get as much, because the money in there is going to show that I got enough money to pay. And that's really a false concept, because no matter what money you put away, the formula only adds 10% of it. So you're head and shoulders above the game than to do nothing.
Absolutely.
So it will have an effect, but it will be very minimal. Now, the other thing that I've seen people do is the parents have the money as the owner with the beneficiary of the kids, and then when they fill out the form, you know, they got to really show their information of where their money's at. I've seen the grandparents change the ownership to the grandparent, or even to an aunt, or, you know, sibling or somebody, and then technically when you fill out that form, it's not in my name, and you know, that's
right.
Another way. And then once a year, they can switch it back. So there's different things that you can do, I mean, to try to, you know, show that your college money might not be there today, but you can hit the switch where it's there tomorrow for the kid. So that's the main thing, is the myth is save for college, start early. And if they don't use it, or they get a scholarship or go into the military or go into academy like Russ's kid, then parents can take it back, or they can just leave it in there for the next kid or for the next grandkid that might not even be around today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very flexible tool. Now, one of the things that, and this is in our seminar, but talk about the main form that everyone needs to fill out no matter what. And my sister, who's a counselor, says, there's always the parent that tries to tell her how she doesn't have, they don't need to fill it out, and they give her a reason.
Right. They make too much money, they'll never qualify, etc.
So what's that form?
So it's an acronym, FAFSA, or FAFSA, which is the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And that's required by every school, junior college, four-year school, etc. Some schools require an additional one called a CSS. But everyone will require that FAFSA.
Now, the reason why it's important to get that form and get it in early is because there is money allocated in the buckets for students, and if you get it in early, you have access to more money. Well, if you did it later or halfway through, some of that money might already get allocated to other kids.
Correct.
So the earlier you get it in, your odds of success go up for getting some allocation.
And the date to start is right around the corner, October 1st. So when we say get ready, we mean right now. Get ready right now to start filling out that FAFSA form.
Now, one of the things, once you go through the process, and we actually subscribe to a software system, which I'll let Tim explain a little bit, but once we you get an idea of what school your kid can get into and how you're going to pay for it, then a lot of times it comes down to, does it make economic sense to do it? And the reason why I say that is there's a lot of good schools out there that are, you know, cheaper, and I'll throw in the junior college. AWC is the only junior college in the state that has access to continue on to NAU, U of A, or ASU once you get your associate. And they also have a program where you can actually get some of your money refunded back to help pay for your the 2 years after your associates. So there are some benefits, and the real benefit is just the cost. I mean, you know, tuition at a junior college is quite a bit less than at a state college. I mean, right. I'm talking like 20% on the dollar, maybe 20-25% of the dollar cheaper.
Oh, yeah. The average tuition, $1,200 to $1,500 at AWC versus $10,000 plus, you know, at the state school.
Yeah. And that doesn't even include, you know, that's the tuition, but then you got the room and board and where they're going to live.
Meal plan.
So you can add another. I mean, my kid goes to U of A, and pretty much all in, you're looking at like $22,000-$23,000 a year. And that's, you know, that's everything. So it gets expensive. One of the other things that I've seen people do for college is borrow from their 401k. And if you do that, there's no tax repercussion, which is good. In a 401k, they let you borrow up to 50% of it, up to $50,000. So you are capped at 50 if you have a bunch of money in there. What we don't like about that is once you borrow from a 401k, they put you on a program to pay the money back, and it's a 5-year period. You got to pay it back.
Oh.
So that $50,000 that, say, could grow for 5 years or maybe earn something isn't there anymore. So it will hurt your 401k a little bit, but it's much better to, I think, get a loan on the 401k than to just pull $50,000 out of an IRA account or something, pay the income tax, pay 10% penalty if you're under 59 and a half. So, you know, you have to look at less.
I didn't know you could get a loan on it. You can actually use your 401k as collateral?
Yep. So most employers have a loan agreement.
Provision.
Mm-hmm. on the 401k. If your employer doesn't, then you can.
Okay.
But I would say about 85% of them will put that in. And, you know, I remember I bought my first house when I got married by using a loan off my 401k for the down payment. So, you know, it was a good starter place to be. So it doesn't make sense to sometimes touch that if you need it.
One of the other benefits of a 529, and this is new, is that with the SECURE Act, now the 529 can actually be used to help pay back student loans up to $10,000. Before, it wasn't available for that, and now it is. So if you've got, like, multiple kids and one just graduated, another one's still in school, so you're using it for school, now the one who's graduated is going to have to start paying back those student loans. Now that money is available for that as well, which is it's a really good feature.
Yeah, so there's different types of loans, and in the seminar we're going to go into the details. But basically, one interest starts right away, and the other one interest only starts after you graduate.
I like that one.
Yeah.
So when
you graduate, you have 9 months where you don't have to pay any payments. But after 9 months is when you have to start paying your student loan payments. So you got to factor that in, too. The other thing about student loans is they can never go away. No bankruptcy will clear it like other debt. So they're always the government will always be there looking for their money.
Yeah, but they've got programs to reduce the amounts or based on what your jobs are and stuff. I know there's stuff out there.
Yeah, we can talk about that after our next break because there is some programs like that. But a lot of times the kids think, well, I'll take a loan and just I won't pay it back.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
That will haunt you, mess you up credit-wise. So, and we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, "Only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation."
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
And it looks better. Hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a glove. Oh, but ain't that America?
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Tim Avila. We're talking about colleges, how to maybe cut some costs in college or cut or get into college, how to kind of cut corners. Now, I will say about college, everyone has a different path on how they get there. So if some, for example, if someone got accepted into, let's just say Harvard, the route that one person took and how much they're paying is 100% different from a route how another kid went and how they got and how much they're paying. So it's not like everyone's equal and, you know, that's how it works. You know, you and I kind of have a unique story, I guess, that I think listeners should hear about. So you were from Yuma. I'm from East County, Yuma, born, you know, raised. You're from Yuma, Yuma.
Yep, human being.
Big city of Yuma. But anyways, you went to Yale, which was a Ivy school.
And, correct.
You know, big price tag on it. I don't know if you remember what tuition was your freshman year.
Yeah, the total cost. It was room, board, everything was $25,000.
Yeah.
And that was back in 87.
Yep, and now Yale's probably more close to 75 or 80.
Yes.
Yeah, so it just shows you. But anyway, so, and I was in a position where I went to Amherst College, which is back in Massachusetts, and it's a smaller school, but it's academic kind of, you know, equivalent or...
Right, high academic school.
It's a little bit less than Yale, but not by much. But it was cheaper for me to go there than for my older two brothers to go to U of A. And the reason being is the formula that the family had to pay, helped us out. But the bigger thing that helped us out is a lot of those schools have huge endowment money that I think Harvard has a $2.5 billion endowment for a scholarship. So they're itching to give that money away. So a lot of times I hear parents say, well, I'm not going to have my kid apply to Yale because it's 75, 80 grand a year. And my response is, no, apply and get in, because once they see what the need is, they could come up and pay 90% of the bill. I mean, it depends on how it works out. So don't just look at the price tag and say, yeah, that's out of my range. I know there was one of the YC students last year, I think got into Princeton maybe. I remember it was one of those. And their parents, I think, worked for the city, you know, and just kind of a middle city job. And the scholarship was like 95%. I mean, it was really
great.
High. So it's important. So let's talk about, once you fill out the form and the more information you can give them, the better those calculators out there that would help you get, plug in the information. It kind of tells you what, as a family, you might have to owe. We highly recommend people to go to the actual website of the college you're looking at.
Correct.
Don't Google it. Don't go online, because the actual website on the school would be more accurate. And some of these calculators are 3-4 years old. If you don't know it, you know, it's producing a different number.
Right. And this is called a net price calculator. Now, each school is required to have that calculator on their website. It's usually under the financial aid link. It'll be right there. There is a word of caution. Some schools have really, really good calculators, which means they ask a lot of questions. They want to know all the details. They'll ask like 10 to 15 questions.
Yeah.
Correct. If you find the school and you find the calculator and it asks you like 3 questions, what's your GPA, what's your test score, and one other question, it's not going to give you a very accurate answer.
And the reason why that is because the federal government mandated that every college has to have this calculator on their website.
Correct.
So some colleges are making it the way it should be, like an accurate calculator. Others are just throwing up like a calculator so they don't get in trouble.
Exactly.
So if you come across a school that has a calculator with minimal questions on it, then what you could actually do is call the school, and they will basically probably give you a better calculator or a better system to pull
correct
it down. So the other thing about school, too, is if you have more than one kid in school, it really helps you out on what the family need is. A lot of times, and I give an example of what my sister said last night at the seminar, is there was a doctor client who wouldn't fill out the form because he always said, I'm making too much, it's not going to help me, I'm not going to do it. And then anyways, the kid got into school, I think junior year, and this other kid got into school. Anyways, he filled the form out, and to make a long story short, there was some funds available, even though he had a higher income, because the more kids you have in school, it really really helps the numbers.
Right, and that's a good thing, and that's the thing that you don't have to be afraid of. If you have 3 kids, it's not like they're going to charge you 3 times as much or expect you to pay 3 times as much. They're expecting you to pay about the same, divided now by 3.
Yeah, so if you have twins or triplets, then that's your advantage.
No, thank you.
So,
you know, and a little bit of going back to our stories with Tom and myself and how colleges work differently when it comes to aid. So you'd be surprised. The elite schools, the Ivy League schools that have the big endowments, you know, getting in is the hard part. You have to have the good grades, the extracurricular activities, everything like that. But once you're in, since they have that big endowment pot of money, they basically just say, how much can you pay?
Now, what's the need of the family?
What's the need? And if you can only pay 20%, they're like, okay, here's the rest. You know, it's coming out of our endowment fund. You made it. So now we're going to make sure you can stay here. And the interesting thing with that, too, is that they also told me in freshman orientation, you have 4 years to complete your degree. That's it. You have 4 years of academic eligibility. There's no five-year choice or six-year option or anything like that. It was 4 years, straight up.
It's too much pressure.
A lot of those private Ivy schools, their four-year graduation rates like 98%. Mainly because the kids going in are, you know, have a little bit of a brain and study habit, or they wouldn't be in there in the first place.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you want to find out. Also, when you look at the colleges, what's the graduation rate?
Correct.
And how many can graduate in 4 years or 5 years? Because let's just say your kid graduates in 5 years instead of four. Well, guess what? That's an extra year of tuition. So some schools are very good at getting you out in 4 years, and their stats show it. Other schools, not so much. So you want to also put that in the back of your mind, because that will have an impact on your wallet.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely. 1 year of school is not cheap. Yep. Tacking on that extra amount.
So the average student loans right now, I mean, as a whole, I think they're over, I don't know if you have, there's a stat somewhere, but they're over like...
1.56 trillion with a T.
Yeah. In the last 20 years, student loans have gone up like 50 times or some crazy number. But the average person has about $30,000 in student loans. And I remember I had when I left college, I think I had about 3,000 student loans. My rate was like 7 5/8 or something. I'm sure rates have come down a little bit, but it's not a loan where you're getting a really, really good rate. I mean, probably, you know, 4 or 5% today. But that's, you know, that's going to drag on your working income when you get out, and also when you apply to either buy a car or get your first house. You all look at the cash flow, and that little student loan amount will be a negative on you trying to apply for a house or such. So the other thing about the schools, and you and I are in the same boat on this one, is they also put a portion of it that you can work. So they don't just, I mean, most of it they write you a check, but they will say, we expect you to do some type of work on campus, and maybe that makes an extra $3,000 or whatever. So I worked, you know, pretty much... Part of my agreement, because they were paying a lot of the tuition, was I had to work, you know, it wasn't too many hours, maybe I think 15 hours a week or something, and that was actually fun, but you had to...
Yeah, I did the same, and actually I had two jobs. I had two separate student jobs on campus, part-time, of course, but yeah, that was part of mine as well.
Yeah. So, now, the other thing is, there's schools that will acknowledge tuition payments from in a different state. And what I mean by that, there's a bunch of schools west of the Mississippi, because, you know, if you pay in-state school and out-of-state tuition, it's night and day. Like, maybe in-state California might be $12,000, out-of-state California might be $25,000. I mean, it's usually a big difference.
Big difference.
So what they did is the schools got together and said, hey, if you let my Arizona kids go to your out-of-state school, we'll charge them in-state tuition. But you also have to let kids from California come to Arizona and charge in-state tuition. So it's really an agreement among the colleges.
Reciprocity type state.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's really an agreement among the colleges, not the state. But my kid went to University of Hawaii, and that was one of the programs where you had in-state tuition because they were in that program. So it was almost comparable to U of A. But if it wasn't, then I would have paid, you know, quite a bit more.
Yeah.
So that also look at that, because if there are some schools that you're looking at and one of them has that trait, then it will save you thousands of dollars.
And they call it the WUE. WUE, and it's W-U-E. That's the name of the program itself. It
stands for Western University.
Something with the E.
Yeah.
Unified Educators or something like that. But that's what they'll call it, WUE, and that's the program.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Tim Avila, Yuma Investment Group. We're talking about college. We have a webinar coming up tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you go to the Facebook Yuma Investment Group, there's a link on there that you can sign up, and we'll send you out Zoom information, so it's online. Why is it important to go to college? Some of the richest people in the world did not go to college.
Yep.
Gates, one of them. A lot of them, actually. But in general, if you get a four-year degree, you will make over your lifetime more than $1 million than somebody
Correct.
Who doesn't. Not always the case, because there's some people that, you know, but in general, it makes you more money. Now, here's the thing, and I've seen this happen. A lot of students will just go into a major because they either like it or that, but then they get out with that degree and they can't do anything with it. And I use an example. My niece was a psych major, and with psych majors, you really have to get your master's or your doctorate to basically start making some pretty serious money. But typical psych major really doesn't do a lot by itself.
Right.
So she had a hard time finding a job, and she's in Yuma. She's working at the juvenile center, I guess, which kind of fits into the psych thing. But anyways, she's thinking about going back to nursing school. So basically, she spent 4 years on a psych major. She had student loans, and I won't tell you how much, but more than the average, $30,000. And now she wants to go back to nursing school. So it's very important to figure out what type of education or diploma makes the most sense for what you're trying to do.
Correct.
Anyways, think of that. Don't just go and get a degree in... I think one of the degrees is, what is it called? Underwater basket weaving, I heard.
So hard class. But that does play into the consideration of, well, should I really look at a big name school? You know, is it worth it? You know, is there a return on the investment, you know, the money that we put in?
So one of the things they want you to look at, too, is what type of money would you make with a certain degree? And more importantly, what type of money would you make from a certain school?
Correct.
So, for example, there are schools that might pay you 50% more money with the same degree as a different school. And mainly they do that because a lot of these schools basically have alumni support. And I was an econ major, so there was a lot of my financial buddies ended up getting jobs in Wall Street in New York. But they have connections, and they want to hire from their school.
Exactly.
They kind of know what to expect.
Yeah.
And those alumni connections might be enough to have you make more money.
And considerably more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or be in a position where you can, instead of starting with like a third-rate, maybe financial company, the alumni is already with, say, Merrill Lynch or Goldman Sachs. So you can go, you can fly right into a pretty legit,
company. Yeah, it can literally open that door where somebody else, they have the same degree but not the same name, yeah. Didn't come from the same school, and they say, oh, okay, we'll think about it.
Yeah. I had some, I played Division III football in college, and some of my other econ major buddies also played football, and they got some jobs in New York, and there was an alumni thing, but one of the things they said, hey, we're hiring you for this because we know you played a sport, and we know that you can suck it up a little bit, and you have some discipline,
mm-hmm.
And they actually, some of the jobs are that brutal where they wanted someone kind of tough in there, so.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I know on campus at all the Ivy League schools, CIA, FBI, DEA, all those agencies, they love specifically the athlete at the Ivy League school because they've got both. They've got brains, they've got the brawn, they can handle the
mental fortitude.
The mental and physical part of the job.
So there's two types of, when you apply to get money, there's two types. One's merit, and the other one is need.
Is need-based aid.
So maybe talk a little bit about that. So,
yeah, and that goes back to your story of saying that, hey, it was better for your parents price-wise to go to the fancy school versus the in-state school. And that was the exact same situation for me. I got into U of A, ASU, Yale, a couple others, and it was cheaper for my family to send me to Yale than it was for U of A or ASU. The difference being Yale had need-based financial aid. They just literally said, how much can you pay? We pay the rest.
Mm-hmm.
ASU or U of A, they're not like that. They don't say, how much can you pay? And we pay the rest. They say, okay, what can you qualify for? And I had grades, so I qualify for the grades. But they said, okay, it pays 25%, 30%. You still have to come up with the difference.
Yeah, more expensive.
More expensive.
So when I did my application, I actually sent it into the athletic department because I was they were kind of recruiting me, to play football.
Right.
So I'm sure, I don't know what they did with that, but I'm sure they walked it over to the admissions and said, here's the guys that we want to get in here. And that probably had to have an effect in some area. I
mean, absolutely.
I knew I wasn't the most smartest kid there, so I'm sure it did have an effect. But see, everyone has a different way to get into the school. I mean, there's different angles, different paths.
Correct.
Different amounts you pay. So you can't, it's not black and white. It's not, one size fit all. So you got to understand the system and what they're looking for. And that's why you really want to start, eighth grade, freshman year, because a lot of things you can do to make yourself look that much better. And, as you know, keep your GPA up. My sister, who's the counselor at UMA Catholic, says kids that come in their freshman year and just don't get the GPA they should, but then they start getting it, and by their junior, senior year, they're like all A's or whatever. But that freshman year dinged them down, and now they can't apply to the Ivy schools or the schools that have those high GPAs.
Correct.
Because of just one, bad semester or such.
Right. And I coach baseball, been doing it for many years. I've seen kids going to college, of going through the process myself right now, et cetera. And I've learned a lot. There are a lot of qualified athletes who can go on to school, and if you go to Division I, if you go to football or basketball, if you make it, you get a full ride. You get paid. Great. Awesome. Those are some of the only sports that get fully paid. Like for my kids, baseball, it's only a partial scholarship. So what that means is grades are still very, very critical for those athletes as well, because they need to get some academic help or the merit scholarship.
So I will say one thing about athletic scholarship. Statistically, only 1% of the kids will get it.
In high school, yeah, the high school athlete.
At the high school level. And, you know, even myself, I didn't get an athletic scholarship because Division III, they don't have athletic scholarships, but it was more merit. But anyways, a lot of parents think the key to get their kid into free college is sports. And I don't want to take anything away from them because, you know, maybe that is the best way to go for them. But for the other 99% that won't get that scholarship, it's not the best way to go.
Right.
So you're better off trying to promote outside extra activities at school, get the GPA up.
Yep,
maybe have them take a class so they can prep for the ACT or the SAT. Stuff like that will have more of a meaning, you know, than the typical scholarship.
Right, and with the baseball players, because they know a lot about their route to college, people will say, well, is it better for me to pay to go to a big tournament or a showcase, or is it better for me to pay for help on the test,
a tutor.
The ACT, or a tutor.
Yeah,
and a lot of times, if you don't have a 3.5 or higher, you're better off spending the money on the tutoring and the testing than going to these showcases or camps or something like that.
Yeah. And the hard thing with the schools that are pretty good academically is they have to find smart kids to play sports.
Correct.
And they might bend a little bit, but they don't bend a lot on the criteria. So, you know, you don't have to be the biggest lineman out there. I'm 6 foot. I'm not that big. And I never thought I'd play after high school, really. You know, and I was an average high school player. I never got any, you know, Arizona lineman, you know, recognition or anything. But anyways, I went back there, and I actually started my sophomore, junior year. And I was competitive doing that. Kind of got stronger when I got a little older in high school and after. But anyways, the point being is, like, it was a fun experience. And those are a lot of my memories that, you know, I still think about. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, so we're going to, again, have our seminar tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's going to be a Zoom webinar live. We're going to have Tim Avila there, who's with us today, and my sister, Tara Starworth, who's a counselor at UMA Catholic, is going to be there. And they're going to basically go through the seminar. It's about an hour. It's four ways to cut in college costs and how to avoid overpaying for college. And if you want to sign up, go to the Facebook, YumaInvestmentGroup.com, and on there, there's a little advertisement for the college. Hit that link, and then you can sign up, and we'll send you out the Zoom information, and you will be ready to go. So please, you know, if you have kids or that you're going to need to figure out how to pay for it, this is almost a must seminar to go to.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of great information on how to do it right, and a lot of times the only thing that happens is people don't know, and they end up making a mistake.
So you know how they say in high school, like, they should teach classes on how to balance a checkbook or what debt is or what a credit card debt means, and they say that kids don't get enough of that? Well, on the college side, the parents don't get enough of how to make it work.
Correct.
And now, granted, the counselors can help out and give you bits and pieces, and I know with the Internet you can probably Google a lot of stuff too, but this is kind of a thorough, from start to finish, the big picture concept of what you need to do to try to get your college expenses down. So we looks like we have a great weekend out there. Weather's still okay. Someone says it's going to hit 100, huh, today?
Yeah, about 105, I think is what they said this morning.
So anyways, everyone have a great weekend. Be safe, and make sure you keep your 6 feet distancing. And anyways, thanks for coming in, Tim. And,
yes,
we'll be
thanks for having me.
Next couple weeks. Thanks.
And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home on the free? Yeah, little pink houses.
The opinion.
opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.